you'd like to open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to begin there. That's not where we will stay, but we're going to begin there in our lesson this evening. Before we begin, I want to express my heartfelt appreciation to you and the invitation that your elders have given for me to come and be part of this church family these 3 days. It seems like it has been a whirlwind for us. And I hope that something along the way will stick. I realized a long time ago that after I finished preaching, that it would be a little bit too much to expect, maybe a little bit too much arrogance on my part, to expect people a week from now to remember anything that I said. But I hope that at least these few days I've said something that from God's Word will help you. Because I've been benefited by being with you and being in your presence. And I appreciate so much the thoughtful things you've had to say about the lessons and the encouragement that you've given me. I love to preach. I love to do this kind of work. I love home. And it's kind of a tale of two emotions for me. But at least I've got to drive back and forth this week. And so that's been a blessing to me. It's been good to be with Coy and Christina. I've met Coy, I think, the last year. I was at Granbury, and they came to hear me one evening. And but I've known his dad for a while. I've held meetings in Centerville, but my first time to meet him, and I'm thankful for his willingness to do this work. I tell you, a fellow who builds tents and tries to preach the gospel at the same time is taking on a task. It is singly hard enough to try to do it by itself, but to try to make a living building tents and preaching as well, and do that work effectively is a load indeed. And I admire him for his willingness to do that. Christina, I've known since I don't know when I've known her. From the time she's a little girl, I've known her side of the family for years. I was good friends with her dad before he obviously passed away. Her grandparents I'm really good friends with. So it's been good to see her and to see the fine young lady that she is growing to be. And I pray God's blessings upon your work here, upon the Lord's work here. It is my prayer that everywhere the Lord's people assemble and form a collective group together that the Lord's work will prosper. Satan is the only one that wins whenever we rend and tear one another. And I pray that this work will prosper and the desires and the goals and the aims that you have as a group, God will be able to help you. Will be able to help you accomplish. I firmly believe in His power to do that. And I believe He will work in His time for that to take place. And I appreciate the fact that you are here. Thank you very much for letting me be here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I want to begin in verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, and woe to him who is alone when he falls. For he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, one can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I don't think that Solomon is suggesting here that what he has in mind is the local church. But what he has in mind here ought to be the kind of relationship we have in a local church. And I don't think what Solomon has in mind here is a marriage either. But what he describes here ought to be indicative of the kind of relationship husbands and wives have in a marriage. When we begin to think about our relationship together and the spiritual gifts that God has blessed us with, I want to turn your attention to Hebrews chapter 10 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 10. I think the Hebrew writer helps us see something of significance in this passage. I hope that will be of value to us. Beginning in verse 24, he says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." First of all, this is not a passage that deals with get the people in an assembly. In fact, this is not even an assembling passage. The passage is constructed with a not but construction. In our language, we have good, better, best. We have second degree comparisons and third degree comparisons. In the Greek language, they had no second degree comparison, so the way that it would be compared was to pick something and say, not this, but this. The not in that case is not a prohibition. The not is for the purpose of accentuating the side that comes after it. So, you look before and you look after. And so what he says, when you consider the act of assembling, that's what he's talking about. When you consider the act of assembling, he says, before, let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works. He says, after, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I think that day approaching the Hebrew writer is talking about is the destruction of Jerusalem, but that's a sidebar. But nonetheless, you see what he's talking about here is that the act of assembling ought to have a purpose. It ought to have the purpose of stirring us up to love and good works and exhorting one another. The word stir and exhort are two interesting words. The word exhort means to call to side. The idea is that you only call to side someone with whom you have a close relationship. If there's someone that you don't know, and they come up to you and they put their arm around you this way, what is normally the reaction? The reaction is normally just kind of to slightly pull away. Why? Because I don't know you well enough for you to put your arm around me. However, when there's someone that you know, and you know well, you put your arm around them and you pull them in tight to you, that's the idea of calling to side. Here's someone you know and you're trying to call them to side.